Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to the latest edition of News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. If state lawmakers were looking for a smart, honest, and experienced person to explain the ins and outs of the state court system and honestly assess their plans for a comprehensive overhaul, it's hard to imagine they could find anyone better for the job than Donald Stevens. Stevens is a recently retired Superior Court judge from Wake County with decades of experience and an impeccable reputation. Judge Stevens joined us in studio recently to discuss proposals we've seen at the General Assembly for remaking the courts and his fears about what may really be behind them. Well, Judge Stevens, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell us about yourself a little bit. I think probably the general public, our listeners, would be interested to know who you are and why you're involved in the discussion of how we select our judges in North Carolina these days.
Well, I'm a retired judge. I've spent 33 years on the Superior Court bench. I was licensed to practice law in 1970, spent my career as a prosecutor, primarily a trial lawyer. Went to the Superior Court bench in 1986, first by appointment and then by election. Was elected five times. And recently retired under the mandatory retirement age of 72 for Superior Court judges and or all judges in North Carolina. I have a strong interest in making sure that we have high-quality judges, but also that they be independent of partisan politics or any kind of politics for that matter.
So you've retired. Congratulations. Why are you speaking up about this issue? Why have you indeed been working with the governor, perhaps, to speak out on this issue?
As they say, I got my voice back. As soon as I retired, since I'm no longer a judge or an emergency judge, I can speak my mind. I can have my own opinion about how the court system should work, how judges should be selected, whether or not it's working, whether or not we have some crisis that would require some change. And I feel an obligation to the judiciary to be a spokesperson, at least on my own views anyway. Active judges are a little bit restricted about what they can or can't say about changes in the law reference to their selection, and I'm not restricted. And so I'm not speaking for them, but since no one is speaking on behalf of the judiciary, I decided that I would.
Tell our listeners what's happening now. What's been going on for the last several months in North Carolina and where things stand now in your judgment?
If you go back, even go back 6 years or so, when I was first elected 30-plus years ago, we had partisan elections. After that, I think we've got into the appropriate mindset that judges ought not to be elected in partisan elections. They're neutrals. They don't represent a people. They represent the law. They represent the Constitution in fairly applying the law as written by the legislature. They're not partisan actors in the process. They are the part of democracy in which they sort of make sure that the legislature does what they're supposed to do and that the executive branch does what they're supposed to do. It's part of the separation of powers. For 20 years or so, we've had nonpartisan elections. In fact, we had public financing of appellate races, and we'd gotten away from this whole concept of partisan politics as applied to judges. Judges are neutral; they have to call the law the way it is, no matter which side wins or which side loses, Democrats or Republicans. And then just recently, the legislature eliminated public funding for nonpartisan appellate races. We had taken not only the partisan part of electing judges away, but also big money away. And so they eliminated the public funding. And then they thereafter added party labels to candidates running for the Court of Appeals. And so all of a sudden you see partisan elections beginning to raise their appearance in judicial elections. Then they eliminated seats on the Court of Appeals when judges retired so that a Democratic governor could not replace retiring judges on the Court of Appeals. And then the legislature, basically in order to try to keep a Supreme Court justice who was a Republican on the Supreme Court to maintain their majority, enacted a law in which they said he could run against himself. They call that a retention election, so that he would not have an opponent. He would run against himself. And that law was declared by the judges unconstitutional. You can't do that. And so recently they have reinstated partisan judicial elections for 2018, but they've eliminated party primaries for those judicial candidates. They've redrawn judicial districts and judicial divisions in a way in which it appears that Republicans are more likely to be elected in some of those districts. They have puts incumbent judges in the same districts with each other, requiring them to run against each other, many of which are Democrats. There's even a proposed constitutional amendment to reduce the terms of judges to 2 years and make them run every 2 years along with every legislator and spend all their time trying to raise money and running for election as opposed to doing their job, which is a job that is not political. What happens in the courthouse is not political, trying murder cases and civil cases and those kind of cases. There's nothing political about that at all, but the legislature doesn't seem to understand that. And then most recently they have talked about considering a constitutional amendment to have the legislature pick judges, basically, to they want to do away with elections and let they may want to call it merit selection, but it's really legislative selection. So the legislature can pick their judges, and then when the judges interpret the laws that the legislature passes, I suspect that they would hope that those legislators, those judges picked by legislators, will remember who picked them and who will give deference to the legislature's enactment of laws that are clearly unconstitutional on their face, such as what I talked about earlier, the retention election for the Supreme Court justice, to let him run against himself. I mean, that's just not right. I think judges are facing all sorts of intimidation and threats as a result of, or feel they are anyway, the possibility that their terms will be terminated, that their districts will be redrawn, that their positions will be eliminated, and that their job will be much harder. And it attacks the independence, complete independence of the judiciary in North Carolina. And so that's very troubling. It certainly threatens an independent judiciary as we understand that's what our job is.
You know, we haven't done anything about the districts in North Carolina in which we elect judges for decades, the 60s or the 50s. Isn't this a good time to sort of relook at this issue and at the minimum how we draw the districts from which judges are elected?
Well, to begin with, there's no crisis. There's no indication that the quality of the judiciary is poor. In fact, in my opinion, the quality of the judiciary is good. It's as good as it's ever been in my memory anyway. I don't know what the rush to change is. All of the plans and that have been reviewed doesn't suggest that there's any particular need to immediately rush to redraw judicial districts, rush to relook at how we pick judges. There's no crisis. And no one has declared there is. I mean, the public has not suggested that we need to look at this. The Bar Association has not. The business community has not. The only entity that's declared that we need to relook at how we pick judges and where they come from is the legislature, and I think it's the legislature that's really irritated at the fact that judges have been doing their job. They have been independently evaluating laws that are unconstitutional on their face and declaring them to be that way. And that they have just brought upon the ire of some of the members of the legislature that how dare they? And so we'll just tell judges who we are. We'll redraw their district. We'll let them know that we have power over them, and maybe we can, in that way, affect how they view our laws.
Well, if that's the case, it wouldn't be uncommon. It wouldn't be unusual for this particular General Assembly, I would say, in recent years. So there have, however, been some meetings recently at the legislature in which it seems as if lawmakers are starting maybe to wake up to the fact that this is not a simple thing to do. They're starting to actually listen at least a little bit to experts like yourself who are saying, well, hold on a minute. This is probably isn't something you can do overnight or with a quick fix.
They've heard from a number of people who are experts in the area of the constitutional aspects of what's required to redraw districts, what's required to change the method and the manner in which we select judges if they are intent on doing that. And I think for the first time, the Senate Select Committee on Judicial Reform and Redistricting at a hearing yesterday seemed to begin to understand and appreciate the fact that this is complicated. Redistricting is complicated. You can't just pick two or three counties and say that's going to be a judicial district. You have to consider population. You have to consider caseload. You have to consider a lot of factors that I'm not sure anyone has considered with care and caution as they should have at the time this House Bill 717 was drawn, redrawing judicial districts across the state and judicial divisions.
Many people may not realize there are 400-some judges in North Carolina?
Oh, yes. There's about 250 district court judges, another 100 plus superior court judges, as well as our appellate judges. We have lots of judges. In fact, we have 150 judges on the ballot in 2018 if we're going to have a judicial election in 2018.
Right. Any idea of where things are headed from here? The legislature's coming in this coming week. We've heard talk of constitutional amendments to change how we select judges. It sounds as if maybe that stuff is starting to slow down, the idea of any kind of a rapid constitutional amendment proposal.
Well, I certainly hope it is, because this is really complicated. Historically, when we have changed our court system under what was referred to as the Bell Commission years ago, back in part of 1970, in coming up with the General Court of Justice and then later the Futures Commission reports, I mean, this was a long, extended courts commission analysis of the right the way to do things and how to evaluate by population and cases and geography, travel, all the kind of things around the state. Try a case in Ashe County in the mountains or in Terrell County down east is different than trying a case in Wake County. And how you make all these districts make sense, work, and efficiently carry out the obligation of the court system. Plus, they're drawing these maps based upon 2010 population census. We're about to move toward a 2020 census, which will give us a new idea of what the populations are in all of these counties. Why in the world are we drawing redistricting in 2018 election? I mean, why would we do that? Why not wait two more years, look at the census, and come up with population changes that will go forward more logically and be hopefully constitutional if they do it right.
Well, Judge Stevens, we really appreciate your being with us. We hope very much that they heed some of the advice you're offering, and as we go forward, I think a lot of North Carolinians will be paying very close attention. Thanks very much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me and the opportunity to speak my mind about this.
Coming up next, more on the court's controversy with national expert Alicia Bannon. Stay with us.